Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, there is so much going on in the world right now. If we just sit for a second and take stock, there's what happened in Orlando several days ago. There's Britain leaving the EU. There's what's happening here at home in South Africa with our upcoming elections, the protests that have been happening in Tshwane that are perhaps spreading across the country. There is so much going on in the world right now. And the way that we understand what's happening in the world right now has changed in the past couple of years with the advent of Twitter and Facebook and social media and the impact of the internet. The way we now get information is perhaps a little bit different or a little bit more enhanced, some would say, than it was years ago. One thing that has consistently remained in our lives, though, and one thing that we consistently always look to find out about what is happening in our world, and where we listen to conversations that people are having about their human experience and compare our human experience to that, has for the longest time been the medium of radio. Radio remains, specifically in South Africa, one of the most powerful mediums to get a message across. More people listen to radio than they do watch television. But radio has kind of taken on a life of its own in the past couple of years with that advent of the internet. It's no longer just, you know, traditional terrestrial, turn on a radio, tune into a signal with signals coming from broadcasting towers and all of that. Internet radio has happened. Podcasting has happened. And there is a person who has kept their finger on the pulse of everything as it's evolved. We're going to touch base now with Laura Walker, who's the president and CEO of New York Public Radio. It's the largest public radio station group in the United States of America. Under Laura's leadership, New York Public Radio's audience has grown from 1 million to 20 million people. Now, the reason we're speaking to Laura is because of this unbelievable piece that she's written on Medium.com. We love reading stuff on Medium.com. It's titled Radio's Next Incarnation, Join the Creative Disruption. And it speaks about what radio looks like in 2016. Laura, how's it going?
Hi, Ari. It's great. It's great. How are you?
Very, very good. I mean, you've been in this business for a really, really long time. I kind of want to, you know, getting into this, and we'll pick up on some aspects of the article in a second. I want to pick up on the word storytelling, because storytelling has remained consistently a part of your narrative from the beginning of your career up until this point right now. And storytelling sits kind of at the fundamental of what radio is about, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like a powerful human story, and radio, excuse me, is a wonderful medium to express story.
Let's talk about for a second radio in a context of 2016 and the evolution of this medium. When you look at it and you try and take a bird's eye view about how radio has or hasn't changed, what is your immediate sentiment?
I feel that the public radio world and the radio world right now is the most exciting it's ever been, honestly. There are so many young producers that want to come in and tell their own stories. There is, you know, the internet podcasting has opened up the door for many more diverse kind of voices and people to express what they want to express. And it's also traveling with you all over. The mobile phone, you know, is now the radio in so many ways.
I mean, even if we look at the conversation that we're having right now and the medium that we're having it on an online radio station, which has its own app. This will eventually become a podcast. It'll be pushed out into iTunes and a bunch of different places. So it's almost this hybrid of something that was live. It's live right now, but it will be available forever. And zooming in on, you know, defining what radio is in 2016, do you think we need to take a relook at what we think of radio to be?
Well, you know, the death of radio has been predicted at least once a generation, starting with the first flicker of the cathode ray tube. And yet here we are, just like you said in your introduction, you know, more people listen to radio than watch television. So I don't think radio is dead in any way. I think radio is evolving. And I think here in New York, where we have in New York and New Jersey, we have eight radio stations. I think there is a crying need for local journalism, you know, and for journalists to kind of tell the story of our city, of our region, to hold our officials accountable. And boy, we have, you know, we have got the Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey. We've got, you know, Bill de Blasio. We have a lot of officials to hold accountable. And also, I think radio is so beautifully local in many ways. At the same time, public radio here in the United States at least has, you know, national, international and local news. So today we're reporting obviously on Brexit, and we're doing it from London. We're doing it, you know, from New York. We're asking expats to call in here, but we're also, you know, all over Europe with reporters. So it's an incredible medium. And I think there is, I think it's alive in a way that it actually has never been.
And I want to speak for a second about, you know, where this medium is going. And you allude to it in your article, and you speak about some of the things that are going to be integral in terms of people sustaining their careers in radio and accepting that it's not changing but evolving, and, you know, taking on different forms. Kicking it off with the podcast, the idea of stuff being consistently on demand. I mean, podcasting to you, when you sort of think about it in its purest form, where is your head at on that?
Well, we are huge believers in podcasts. In fact, you know, it was probably about 11 years ago now, somebody came into my office and said, you know, there's this thing that is called podcasting, and I think we should put On the Media, which is one of our national shows about the media, we should put that on a podcast. So we did, and I think we were really excited when we got 100 downloads. You know, today, we're very bullish on podcasts as a way, particularly to reach kind of new audiences and also to, kind of unleash creative disruption, because you've got people, you know, creating things that don't have to fit into, you know, 10-minute segment or an hour radio show. You can create things for that medium. And, you know, last fall we launched something called WNYC Studios, which is an original production company. Mm. And it's really meant to bring new talent to expanded audiences with new program types and new business models. And we've launched since we announced it, we've launched 6 new programs. Mm. And they've ranged. So we do a collaboration with the New Yorker Radio Hour, which is actually with the New Yorker, which is the New Yorker Radio Hour, that actually is both on radio and on podcast. We also have a great new podcast with these two incredibly funny women, Jessica Williams and Phoebe Robinson. And in fact, I was speaking at a conference about a month ago, and at Tribeca Film Festival, and I was speaking about podcasts, and I was with Phoebe on stage, and somebody raised their hand. They said they were from Kenya, I think it was, and that they had discovered this podcast called Two Dope Queens, which is Jessica and Phoebe's podcast, and that they she sat around with a group of her friends listening and laughing. And it's so that's the power of the podcast. It can go internationally, and it is a great story, whether it's a bunch of women in Kenya, you know, listening to it, or it was like me listening and laughing as I walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, you know.
There's almost an irony in, you know, Britain leaving the European Union today, and this idea of, you know, Britain taking themselves back as a country and being their own institution in their own right, in a context of the fact that the world, because of media, is becoming so much more global and so much more globally connected, and somebody can listen to something that was produced in the States with massive ease in a place like Kenya. There's almost a bit of an irony in that.
Yeah. I mean, and that I'm talking to you, you know, from New York to Johannesburg, you know, and that it's and that we're talking about things that we share. Mm. It is an amazing it's amazing how connected we are these days. Are you doing podcasts yourself?
Yeah. So everything that we do live then becomes a podcast after it's been live, which is kind of this hybrid of live radio and then available on demand in case you missed it. Yeah.
And is it growing? Is it growing in South Africa?
Absolutely. I think the in our context, people understand live radio a lot more than they perhaps do podcasts. But if you look at what's happened with television and the fact that TV is just so on demand now, it's very rare that people even watch TV shows as they air. Certainly, it makes just sense that that would just apply to audio.
Yeah. Right. Right. And it's, and I think it will, I think get more, ubiquitous. And I think we'll find also new forms or for us, for instance, I think kind of radio drama, like we stopped doing radio drama here in the States, I think maybe 20, 30 years ago. And so we're now experimenting with radio dramas again in a different way. You know, they can be serialized. They can be short. They don't have to be, you know, it's not just about putting microphones on in a theater, but it's about creating something for this medium or, you know, what the old time radio did, which was to have a bunch of people behind mics reading, short scripts that were made for radio. If you make them for podcasts, you can do serialization. You can do, a different even kind of sound production that is, beautiful. I mean, the sound design and the sound production in some of the podcasts that we're doing, like Radio Lab, like we do one called Meet the Composer that we won a Peabody Award for this year, and it's really composed. It's the music and the sound is composed, and it's so much fun. And you can do, as you know, very timely kinds of things. Like today, we will be releasing a new episode of a podcast that's number one or number two on iTunes right now. It's our spinoff of Radio Lab, and it's called More Perfect, and it's about the Supreme Court. And we're doing one about the affirmative action case that just got decided yesterday. And so we have a whole episode that'll be on today. So it's you can be timely, and you can also be evergreen.
The other thing that you can be is exactly what somebody wants you to be. I mean, in the article, you speak about this idea of, you know, in your context, local public radio being centered around the community. But really, community could also imply niche audiences. I mean, now for the first time ever, you can create a show about fly fishing. And anyone who's interested in fly fishing, no matter where they are in the world, can gravitate towards it. This idea of just general and mass entertainment is becoming less and less of a thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you can find, you can also find large audiences for what seems like niche products as well, you know, or niche audiences. So different communities, of kind of people who are obsessed with different things. That's always been, I think, you know, magazines have always done it. Radio hasn't done it that much, right? I mean, we've been more of a broadcast medium. So to kind of have the opportunity to be able to speak and to speak honestly and authentically to a community about something you're either you're self-identified with or you're obsessed with, I think is a real gift. And to hear that kind of connection that you can only get in a you know, podcast or in a audio environment, that's very special.
Creating stuff that people specifically want. For you, what is it that keeps you so fascinated by this evolving medium, that keeps you waking up in the morning wanting to navigate a space that is being pioneered in? And, you know, no one can claim to be an expert in anything to do with digital, really, because it's been around for such a short amount of time. We'll only be able to know in 40, 50 years' time from now if Facebook was actually good for our psychology or not. So this idea of, you know, consistently being in the dark and trying to navigate away, what is it about that gets you pumped specifically?
Yeah, well, you know, it's that intersection of a creative idea or a kind of new approach to something that needs to be reported or communicated that we need. So, you know, with the podcast about the Supreme Court, it was that what gets me pumped about that was kind of thinking about, okay, how could we do something that was either serialized or timely, but in the podcast medium so that, and deep and, coming back and talking to Dean Capello, who's this wonderful head of WNYC Studios. And I said to him, what if we did something on the Supreme Court? And he said, oh, but Jad is obsessed with the Supreme Court. Jad is a MacArthur genius, the you know, host of Radiolab. There's no one better to. So I just love when we do this. Or we had this women's podcast festival. Mm. To me, what's exciting about that is you see a need. You know, 3 years ago, saw basically that 20% of the top 100 podcasts had women hosts. And, you know, set a goal. We're going to get to 50% in 2 more years, and we're making progress. We're at 37% now. And how do we do that? We do that by bringing these incredibly smart podcasts, women who want to do podcasts and women who are doing podcasts from commercial, from all around the country and the world together to support each other. Mm. You know, it's like I love the creation of kind of, you know, a new creative form idea with something that needs to be done.
What you're essentially describing to a large extent is art. And we know that great artists seek out sort of social change with whatever it is that they create. It's about getting, you know, audiences and people to really think about something that they're doing and holding up a mirror to society. How much of, you know, making the world a better place influences everything that you do over at New York Public Radio?
Well, everything. I mean, but that doesn't mean we take ourselves too seriously in a sense. We both want to change the world, and we want to, you know, for example, our reporters just have been combing through the election rolls in Brooklyn, and then had found that over 100,000 names in the election rolls had disappeared. Well, what's that about, right? So we want to make the world a better place by reporting on that and forcing investigations and change, and that's happening. You know, we want people to understand the Supreme Court, so we do that. With this podcast, we want people to take more responsibility for their own health, and so we have a health podcast. And we want to give people. If you listen to Two Dope Queens, it sounds really funny, but it is really funny. But they're talking about very serious issues, like you know, what it feels like to be a patient who is being told that she might have cancer, you know, and it's hysterical, but it's also a real comment on our health system. So that's the fun of it in a way, is, and that is what good storytelling really is. It's about, you know, issues and sentiments and other things that you deeply care about, but told in a way that brings you in. And you know, our mission is to make the mind more curious, the heart more open, and the soul more joyful.
Laura, in all these years that you've spent in broadcasting, what has remained absolutely 100% the same in terms of what human beings will always connect with and always resonate with? And what has this whole journey in broadcasting taught you about human beings?
Mm. Well, that's a really interesting and good question. I have spent my life in journalism, in children's television, and now in public radio. And I think it has taught me that you can use mediums of television and radio to make the world a better place, but you have to do it very intentionally, and you have to do it by attracting really talented people. And that I've learned that great story, that a great connection and understanding who the audience is, that's if you have story, if you have a knowledge of who the audience is, and you have a sense of your message, you can make some real change, and people will want to listen, and they will want to participate, because people are thirsting for great stuff.
And people want stuff that is going to make them, you know, feel better about their lives and give them stuff to think about and create a positive impact. How does it all work together? I mean, with radio and TV and the internet and all of that, like, and everybody's got their role to play. How do we figure out how this puzzle all comes together at the end of the day? Everyone's competing for time and for ears and for eyes.
That's right. I don't know. When I try to figure that out, I look at my 24-year-old and my 16-year-old, and I see that they're doing everything, you know, at the same time. And yet they're not they and their friends, they're not your tip. They're not what people often think about young people, that they're, you know, not thoughtful or very, you know, or not deep. These kids are like, they're thirsting for information and, but they're doing it all the time in every single way with many windows open. And, you just have to be there out there, you know, on their mobile phones, particularly, which I think is obviously where it's at. And, you know, as you're doing there, you know, it's radio and podcasts and social and getting conversations going and bringing people together, and doing it all at once and getting the whoever is listening to participate on, you know, social media to extend the conversation. You know, it, you got to do everything. We're all going to be producers in every medium, but at the heart, you know, we are about audio and about great story.
You're describing exactly what you summated so beautifully in the article on medium.com. You ended it with join the disruption. So to some of us, it might feel like disruption to be Snapchatting and putting dog filters on our face and going wild and tweeting and listening to something and then watching, binge watching a series and all of that. And it might feel like disruption, but disruption inevitably should have a positive outcome, right? It's discomfort in the moment. But discomfort is something that we need in order to evolve and become better as people.
Yes, absolutely. And we have no choice. So let's join it together and let's from South Africa to New York to California. And we are, if we put our minds to kind of making the world a better place through this disruption, I think we can do it.
Power. It's been so cool hanging out. I got one final question for you, Laura Walker, president and CEO of New York Public Radio. You speak a lot about podcasts. The great thing about a podcast is that it lives forever, and it'll be forever from now on the internet. I'm really cool here in South Africa, and I have a time machine. It's very cool. You'll hear about it in the news at some point. If I had to get into my time machine with this podcast that you and I have just co-created and go back to 15-year-old Laura Walker and say, yo, listen to this and tell me what you think of how you turn out, what do you think 15-year-old you would think of who you are right now?
I think I would think, boy, I have the coolest job. And I get to work with these incredibly creative people. And I still – I talked to somebody in South Africa. I want to come. I'm actually coming probably in April. I haven't been. And so I would, my 15-year-old would say, really? You get to go to a place like South Africa and talk to people there? But I think I'd have the coolest job.
Fantastic. Well, we're excited to see you when you do come through. Our doors are open and waiting. We're going to text you the address now.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for hanging out. There is Laura Walker, president and CEO of New York Public Radio. The piece is on medium.com. It's called Radio's Next Incarnation. Join the creative disruption. Disruption. It's a positive thing. Laura, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ari. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.